I'll be reading from James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. James 2, 1 through 9. My brothers, you are believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, so don't be unfair to anyone. Suppose a man comes into your congregation and he is dressed in fancy clothes and he is wearing a gold ring. Then suppose a beggar also comes in wearing ragged old clothes. Do you give special attention to the one who is wearing the fancy clothes? Do you seat him in the best place? Then do you say to the beggar, stand over there, or sit here near my feet? Are you not contradicting yourselves? You have become critics with evil motives. Listen to me, my dear brothers. Was it not the poor people in the world whom God chose to make rich in faith and to receive the kingdom which he promised to all who love him? But you have dishonored the beggar. Do not the rich people oppress you and drag you into court? Yes. Aren't they the ones who say awful things about the precious name that you wear? Yes. The real command is found in Scripture. You must love other people the same way you love yourself. If you obey this command, you are doing fine. But if you treat anyone unfairly, your deeds are sinful. So according to the law, you will be judged as wrongdoers.
It's good to see everyone again this morning. I did mention that we were going to be talking about worshiping in spirit and in truth in the class this morning, but we're actually going to be talking about that tonight. So make sure you come back tonight for John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. We're going to be searching that very much in depth. Spirit and truth, what does it mean? But today, well, this morning rather, what we're going to be talking about is that of partiality. Partiality being shown among our brethren, partiality being shown among the world. People showing partiality towards each other and thus misbehaving because of it. It's important for us as Christians to understand that partiality is not acceptable to our Lord, and we should not be conducting it in our lives. We can be showing partiality for any amount of reasons. We can be showing hatefulness towards someone because we don't like where they come from, because we don't like what family they're from. We can be not liking somebody because maybe they're not as fast of a thinker as us. Maybe we don't have patience with someone. But we can be showing partiality because of any number of reasons. We need to understand that we cannot allow ourselves to become guilty of showing this partiality. Turn with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 4 through 9. Ezekiel has a similar set of verses as we just read in the book of James. What it talks about here with partiality and combat to it. This is actually God talking through the mouth of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18, 4 through 9. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. But if a man is just and does what is lawful and right, if he has not eaten on the mountains, nor lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, nor approached a woman during her impurity, if he has not oppressed anyone, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has robbed no one by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and covered the naked with clothing, if he has not exacted usury, nor taken any increase, but has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, and executed true judgment between man and man, if he has walked in my statutes, and kept my judgments faithfully, he is just, he shall surely live, says the Lord God. Surely there are some Old Testament laws being stated there as well, but what is the main point being given here? God is actually saying what in verse 4? All souls are whose? All are His. It doesn't matter what skin color we are. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what status in life we are of. All souls are God's, and we need to respect such. We need to look at each other as such, as God's. Every one of us has a soul within us. It doesn't matter, again, where we come from or who we are. We all have those souls, and so we need to treat each other accordingly. The showing of partiality. Let's talk about this just a little bit in depth. It can come in many different ways. It can come in reasons of appearance. As we just talked about, maybe it's the clothing someone is wearing. Maybe it's how they look. Maybe they don't look as nice as the person over here. Maybe they look like the beggar over here. How do we treat them? How do we as Christians approach that person? We talked about many of those things this morning in our class. We talked about patience. We talked about gentleness. Are we those things with the beggar just as well as we are with maybe the rich man? How do we treat people? How do we treat people, or do we have these partiality reasons coming up in our lives? And do we show those things to other people? Perhaps it's the car they're driving. Maybe we look at somebody, and then whenever they show their car to you, you completely change your entire outlook on them, your entire perspective of them, because they have this nice Lamborghini or this nice, beautiful car that you've never seen before. And now this person has been lifted up in your mind. You think of them greatly, just because they have a nice car. You see the problem? We're looking at this person over here, not because of their heart, not because they have a soul. We're looking at them because of their stuff. That's partiality. And then we go and look over here at a beggar, and then we look at them basically as nothing. We need to make sure we don't do that, Christians. If somebody comes up to this building today who is maybe asking for some help, maybe he sits through the worship or she sits through the worship and asking for some help, and then we don't help them, we don't look at them, we don't treat them kindly because they don't look that nice to us, that's not okay, Christians. We need to make sure we're not guilty of partiality. We're not guilty of showing these horrible behaviors towards people who don't even deserve that. So reasons of appearance. Also, the color of someone's skin. This actually is something that happens in the church today. We may not think it does as much nowadays, but I actually have had firsthand accounts. I've had examples that have happened in my life where literally even preachers have been literally racist towards members of the church. There have been splits in congregations because people speak a different language. I mean, literally splits, like aggressive splits, because they speak different languages, because they're different ethnicities, because they're from different families. There's all different types of things that happen in the church today for all number of ill, horrible reasons. They just fight each other because of race, because of things like that, because they forgot verses like what we just read, that all souls are God's. Yeah, I mean literally preachers have done that. Literally. It's very, very sad. And those splits do happen. But Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11, maybe it's somebody who's handicapped. Maybe it's somebody who's handicapped mentally. Maybe they're handicapped physically. These people as well, as God says, these are also the Lord's. We need to respect all people as those who have souls. We need to respect all people no matter what they look like, no matter what hardships that they are going through. We need to respect all people as those who are God's. We are all equally God's creation. And the thing that makes us as Christians different is the fact that we walk in the Spirit as God is Spirit. As God walks in the ways of righteousness and teaches it to us, we also are to walk in that way. And if we do that, we are His children. If we follow His plan of salvation, we are His children. That's what makes us different. But of course, we all have souls. Everyone on earth does. Maybe it's a reason of a status in life. Maybe it's not just appearance, but it's that status. Maybe royal lineage to go to the very top. Maybe you treat somebody who's of royal lineage. We just had the Queen of England die the other day, didn't we? Maybe you treat the Queen of England like she's the greatest thing on earth and you're so obsessed with all that royal lineage stuff. But then over here, the person at Walmart, the cashier, as I forgot earlier in the class, the cashier, you don't treat them as well as you were doing the Queen of England. How silly. That's very, very, very silly. We should be treating everyone equally. We should be treating everyone as people, as those with souls. We are all people with souls from God. A good example from the Bible is that of the Pharisees, is that of the Jews in general. They would often treat those who were not Jews even as dirt because they weren't Jews, because they weren't God's chosen people. They would treat them as such. They would treat them wrongfully. The Jews were guilty of that many, many times, not just in the New Testament with the Pharisees, but also in the Old Testament. And of course, God's people can be guilty of that today. So put it in an application. Another example, as for status, mature Christians, Do we sometimes neglect or treat newer Christians poorly just because they're newer Christians? You remember the prophet Jonah? The prophet Jonah had a little bit of a problem. He had a little bit of a problem, as we see throughout that book, with wanting people to be saved, with wanting people to come to repentance. If you go read the book of Jonah, and I do encourage you to, it's in the Old Testament, you'll notice that Jonah is told to go preach the word to the city of Nineveh. Well, he does that after many different things happen because he doesn't want to. And then he preaches it to Nineveh, and then he's angry about it that they all repented. Jonah was actually angry about that they repented and they turned to God. That should be a happy thing. But he wasn't happy. He was angry about it. You see that? There's some kind of partiality there. There was something taking place in Jonah's mind where he wanted vengeance of the Lord to come down on Nineveh. He didn't want Nineveh to be saved. It doesn't matter what somebody has done in their lives, Christians, friends. It doesn't matter how we've sinned. Everyone can come to God. Everyone. No matter what sins we've committed in our lives. We all have equal opportunity to turn to God and be saved in the end of this life. We all can be worthy of heaven. We shouldn't show partiality, Christians. If we're guilty of such, it's something we need to think about and correct. But now let's talk about it as far as the world, and then with brethren in Christ. As far as the world, the rich, they sometimes steal from the poor, don't they? In our day, well, I'm not getting us into politics, we're not even going there. I'm talking about the rich in general. The rich, not all of them, but some of them, maybe more often than not, are guilty from stealing from the poor because they want more of this. How hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? Remember that? It's like trying to put a camel through the eye of a needle. I mean, that sounds impossible to me. It's not impossible. It's just an illustrative way of saying it's very difficult. So, the rich man, of course, steals from people today. Not all of them. Some of them are good, of course. Politicians, celebrities, they'll select different groups of people, maybe a specific group of people that they direct their attention towards. Maybe you're directing your attention towards a certain celebrity for some reason, whatever, and you don't direct your attention towards a brother in Christ. It's all a matter of priorities, brethren and friends. It's all a matter of priorities, partiality, what you're showing and how you're behaving in your life. You remember groups like even the KKK. What were they doing back in the times of the American Civil War? They were literally killing those, a specific race, African Americans. They were slaying people because of their own selfish reasons, because they didn't like their race, because they treated them as dirt. Such was horrible. They didn't treat them as people with souls, but they still did that. Groups like the KKK, like other white supremacists. And that's not just talking about just those groups and towards African Americans. There's been many different groups like Hitler and the Nazis. They were against the Jews, weren't they? There's been many groups like that. They show partiality. They treat people as nothing, as dirt. We Christians don't need to be guilty of that. We have got to watch ourselves on that. John chapter 3 and verse 16, what does it say? For God so loved the who? The world. The world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say, for God so loved the Caucasians. It doesn't say, for God so loved the African Americans. It doesn't say, for God so loved the Asians. It says, for God so loved the world. The entire world, all people encompassing. God loved everyone that He gave His Son to die for us, for everyone. We all have souls. Why would Jesus die for the world if it was just about one specific race on this world? If it was just about whites, if it was just about blacks, if it was just about maybe Mexicans, if it was just about these people, why does it say, for God so loved the world? Christians, friends, we shouldn't be showing partiality towards each other. If you hate one race more than another, or you hate one group of people, or one specific person more than another. For some reason of partiality, that's not okay. That's not right. We shouldn't be behaving like that. We mentioned the Pharisees earlier. Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 47. We'll read that real quick. Acts chapter 13, verses 44 through 47. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. That's actually a reference, if you notice, it's a quote there from the Old Testament. And that comes from Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6. It's actually talking to the people of Israel, to God's people in the Old Testament. What were the people of Israel supposed to be in the Old Testament to the world? They were supposed to be a light. Not just so that they could live for God and be saved in the end, but that they could bring others to God because they were exemplifying the light. Do you understand? God was showing, well, God chose Israel to be a light to the Gentiles. He chose Israel to be a light to the world. He also chooses who today to be a light to the world? Us, Christians. He chooses us, Christians, to be a light to the world today. Are we? Do we show different behavior in public? Do we show different behavior to our co-workers? How do we behave? What are our priorities in life? Are they spiritual or are they physical? How do we behave towards people? Do we show partiality because this person is from a different family? Because we don't like that family as much? That's not okay. We shouldn't be doing that, Christians. We shouldn't be behaving in those ways. Romans 10, 11 through 13. Turn there as well with me. Romans 10, 11 through 13 says there, for the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you notice what it said there in verse 12? There's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The Jews were God's people. And there was no distinction between them and the Gentiles. No distinction. None. What does that mean? That means they were equal, doesn't it? They were equal in the sight of God. Jew and Gentile. What are we? Are we Jews? No. We're Gentiles. We're Gentiles. We're not Jews. We're not of the Jewish race. We are Gentiles. And you know what? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever obeys God. Whoever follows the plan of salvation. It's all the world encompassing. It's not just the Jews. There's no distinction. Don't neglect these verses, brethren. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I want you to notice what it says there in the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You remember what that Great Commission says? It's to all of us. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Verse 19, what does it say? Again, go therefore and make disciples of the United States of America. No. No, it doesn't say that. Go therefore and make disciples of England. No, it doesn't say that. What does it say? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Every nation on earth. Of all time. It doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter where they're from. Doesn't matter if they're living on an island somewhere where nobody can find them. If they're primitive type people who are living on some island, guess what? They're equally precious in the sight of God. They also have souls. We got to get the gospel to them too. All the nations, all the world. Repeated again and again and again. It wasn't selective. It wasn't. It never was. Now let's talk about the showing of partiality towards our fellow brethren in Christ. Christians can be guilty of showing partiality towards each other. We just mentioned some things earlier where even preachers were guilty of showing partiality towards people. And they literally are being racist towards them. We mentioned churches who split up because of racial reasons, because of language reasons. We mentioned these things. This partiality can come in many different ways. We mentioned an older Christian. Maybe they don't like a newer Christian. Maybe they don't want them to be saved. They want the salvation all for themselves. Have we ever been guilty of this? I hope not. It's easy to become guilty of that, like the Pharisees were. It's easy to think, I'm better than this person over here. I'm higher than this person over here. It's easy to think that. Christians, we have got to try to put things into perspective. We are all equal. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what family we're from. It doesn't matter if I'm a preacher's kid or if I'm someone who was just baptized yesterday. It doesn't matter. We're all equal. We're all one in Christ. All one. And if you are showing partiality, brethren, and if I am too, if I was, God knows it. God knows that in your heart. He knows everything. I hope we're not guilty of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 5:10. There's an Old Testament reference like this as well. But 2 Corinthians 5:10, what does it say? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The other reference is from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. What does it say there? For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Every secret thing. If we are treating our brethren with partiality, if we are treating each other poorly because of reasons of race, because of reasons of status in life, because this person looks nicer than this person, If you brethren, if you friends were treating me differently because of this suit that I'm wearing, I would rather take off this suit, wear jeans and a t-shirt, than you treat me with partiality, than you treat someone else different than me. I would rather take this off and wear something casual. Do you get the point of that? We don't need to be treating each other with partiality. We have got to learn to focus on spiritual things. We have got to learn to focus spiritually. To look at the soul. Not at just the physical body. Not at the tents that the person's living in. Look at the soul. Look at this with me. Psalm 44:21. What does that say? 44:21. Would not God search this out? For He knows the secrets of the heart. We keep seeing this again and again, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The heart, what does God look at? Does God look at the physical body or does He look at the heart? What does He look at? He looks at the heart, doesn't He? He looks at the soul. He looks at the person's inner being. That's what He's focused on. That's what He's looking at all the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Let's turn there as well. Chapter 1 and verse 10. Rather than having partiality, what should we have? 1:10 says, Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Did you notice what it said there? No divisions among you. Perfectly joined together. What is perfection? Something that doesn't have flaws, right? We need to be perfectly joined together as Christians, as family of God. We've got to be joined. We've got to be one, tight-knit. We've got to help each other as Christians, as family of God. Do we do that? We talked about this morning our Christian brethren, our acquaintances? Is that all they are to us? Do we treat them as such? As those who are just an everyday person to us? It shouldn't be like that. They're our family. And then as well, how do we treat those in the world? How do we treat them? Do we treat them with partiality? Do we treat the beggar differently than the rich man? I hope not. We need to look at things within, not things without. We walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 5:7 rather. Focus, Christians, on spiritual things, not on physical. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Let's turn there as well. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Turn there with me. That reads, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." We see this here with a condition, don't we? Whenever we be of one mind, whenever we be unified like this, what happens? God will be with us. That's what happens when we're unified. When the church is unified, when the brethren are unified, God is with us. But whenever there's divisions, whenever there's people attacking each other, God is not with us in that. God is not with us. Christians, we have to learn unity. We have to learn to be unified and not argue and bicker about silly things and show partiality towards each other. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 is another passage that demonstrates that we are all one in Christ. There's no partiality in the body of Christ. And of course, we as Christians, as children of God, we need to imitate God. Acts 10:34. "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." And then Romans 2:11. "For there is no partiality with God." If there's no partiality with God, do you think we should be showing partiality, Christians? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We should be looking at the person's inner self, not at the outer. We should be looking within. Do we? That's, of course, the question for all of us this morning. Let us never be guilty of this, Christians. Let us never divide over such horrible, silly things, such as skin color, such as clothing. These are all physical things. These are all outward appearance. We need to be focused on the things that are within the man, that are within the woman. Focused on the soul. Where is your focus? Where is your priority? Where is your mind trained to look first when you look at someone? Consider these things. I hope these encourage you. I hope these help you this morning. If you're struggling with anything, Christians, please do. Let us help you this morning. Physical, mental, or spiritual, I always say, anything you need, any help at all, we will pray with you. With you. If you come to the front as we're about to stand and sing. If you're not a Christian, there is only one way to become a Christian. You've heard the Word of God this morning in many different verses and many references. The Word of God says in the New Testament that one must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, must be willing to repent of their sins, confess Jesus is the Son of the living God, and then be baptized into the water to be added to the kingdom of God, to be added to the family of God. And they will also be remiss of their sins for doing such. And then, what shall they do after that? Does it stop there? No, it remains. We must remain faithful towards the end, all the way, throughout our entire lives, remain faithful to God, and then be worthy of heaven in the end. If you have any need this morning, please do come to the front as we stand and sing.